Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at the verse 11. And the reading takes up after Paul, amongst many things he tells his people at Ephesians, in Ephesians, is that, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works. And so he picks up these numerous points. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done by the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Introvert, extrovert, it doesn't matter. You were designed for community. Intrinsic to who you are as a human being, you were designed, you were made for community. Hopefully you don't have that stuck in your head all week. Well, maybe you do. You were designed for community. No matter what you're like as a person, no matter how much you like being around other people, no matter how much you get your energy in that way, you were made, you were designed by God for community. But it kind of doesn't always feel like we were designed for community. I mean, we're beginning a series Better Together, but it doesn't always feel like it's better to be together, does it? Sometimes I think to myself, it would be nice if everyone just liked what I liked, the music I liked, the food I liked, the jokes I liked, so then that they would think my jokes were funny, and then they would tell me similar jokes, and it would feel like life was just easier, wouldn't it? Better together is challenging. There's high effort people. There's people that you catch up with and you put in a high effort amount of effort with. Sometimes you get that in return. Sometimes you get nothing in return. And you come away and you're completely drained. And it's obvious. Don't try and guess who that is, though. So for me, some of the people that are high effort, for you are the low effort people that you get filled up by. And vice versa. Some people are low effort. And you go in and you know you're going to catch up with them. You engage a low amount of effort, but you get this really high return on that time that you spend together. Some people are low effort, and when you catch up with them, it's okay. But they're also low return, and they're kind of the boring people. Don't try and fit anyone into a category, though, but it's true. better together is difficult. Life is difficult in community. There's often highly destructive people that you invite them into a relationship with other people, and they're toxic in relationship. We're not excluded from that as a church. We're not excluded from people that are toxic, relationships that are toxic. There's people that are really safe, but then they can fall into the boring category as well and be disinteresting. Community is difficult. How can we be better together? You see, community is difficult, but the problem is our greatest moments in life and our deepest hurts happen where? In connection with other people. When you really want to celebrate something, you don't do it alone. You don't have a little party to yourself. If you've achieved something good in life, you want to let other people know, hey, did you know that I did this week and it turned out this way? You want to tell other people about it. Social media tries to fill that function, and so people put their little achievements, their babies, their cute photos, their animal pictures, their kids' results. They love to put these achievements out there in social media so they can get this feedback and people can tell them that they're significant and they can feel built up. But the reality is, in our world where we're seeking continually connection, we're actually living in an increasingly disconnected world, a world that is increasingly marked by being individual, being selfish, being disconnected from a supportive, loving community. If you look at social media and the likes that you get, and so when you put something up, for those that aren't into social media, and you get likes on something, you're always looking for the next like or the next comment, and none of it really fills you up. None of it really satisfies you. In the end, it's like, ah, why didn't they like it? Ah, why did they comment that? Well, Where is this person? Why aren't they giving me affirmation? And for all of us, all those likes, you compare that to a real human face-to-face connection, there is no comparison. You see, if someone comes up to you and you tell them about what you achieved, and they go, wow, that's amazing. I did not know that you were that good. And you make that eye-to-eye, face-to-face contact, all those likes, they mean nothing. You forget about them and you remember that face-to-face interaction. We were designed for that kind of face-to-face, human-to-human, in-person connection. It's funny, we try and replace it with phone. It's not the same. You miss out on all these connection cues that build relationship, that cause our neurons to fire together. It's funny, when you have those FaceTime connections, it seems better. It seems better, but no one's ever quite looking right at you, are they? They're always looking at the camera that's at the top. If I'm doing a Skype conversation with you and I'm on my laptop, my screen's like this and my camera sits down there. So as I look at your face, you look up my nose. It's great. But that's the reality. All these things that we have put in place to create connection are poor substitutes for that face-to-face, person-to-person connection and community that we were designed to be a part of. We're always wondering, as we make connection with people, are they going to accept us? Are they going to reject us? Will they love us? Will they approve of us? Will they celebrate with us? Will they ignore us? I think one of the key ways we see this illustrated today is invitations. Generally, when you get an invitation to a party or an event, someone has plucked up the boldness to go, I think people will actually turn up. So they put out the invitation. The main modes we probably get it these days are text message or email, maybe Facebook. Maybe if you're lucky, you get a paper invitation. Maybe if you're even more lucky, you get a face-to-face invitation. And so what happens when we get this invitation is we often don't open it in front of the person, if it's a paper one. We take it away, and then we look at our calendar, and we go, oh, I wonder if I can fit that in. And the person that's giving you the invitation is going, I wonder if they'll accept me, or I wonder if they'll reject me. We're looking at the calendar, and we're going, there might be something more interesting coming up on that date. You know, so-and-so is going to have a party and that will be a low-energy, high-return kind of investment for me. And the person's thinking, will they accept me? will they reject me? And the other person's going, well, I have a late night the night before. I just don't know if I have the energy to be around them. Who else is going to be there? Let me check who else is going to be there. And still the other person is waiting. When's that reply going to come through? Will they accept me and will they reject me? See, the reality is when we function that way, we don't really treat them as people. We're thinking about ourselves, what can we get? What can I have? And the other person is going, will they love me? And we're not even thinking about that. Do you know if you offer someone a face-to-face invitation to something, it's roughly 80%, 90% more likely that they will positively respond and come to what you've invited them to be a part of. It's interesting. Maybe you should try it next time you put an invitation out. It's not very efficient. You see, in life, we continually make these bids for connection with each other. These bids that you would know me, that you would accept me, that you would demonstrate love for me. And a lot of the time today, in the busyness of life, we miss these bids for connection that other people make with us. We're just busy because life is busy, because our calendars are full. Because we're not thinking about them, because we're thinking of us. But we were designed for community. But wouldn't it just be easier to just stick to ourselves, limit our circle of interaction, limit our friends, limit our family to a certain few, surround ourselves with people that agree with us? Wouldn't it be easier if to be a Christian you didn't have to go to church? Maybe you've been jaded by community. Maybe you've been jaded by relationships. Well, this morning as we gather, I really feel like God's calling us to re-engage. You see, if relationships are what we are made for, if community is what we are made for, then I feel like this morning God is wanting to reconnect us with what we are designed for, reconnect us with what His heart is for community, reconnect us with what His vision is for community. And so the next 4 weeks, we're going to spend unpacking what it looks like to be better together so we can live it out, so we as a community can live out what it means to be better together. Brené Brown says this. She says, only our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. Embracing our vulnerabilities, that is, when we embrace that we might get rejected, is risky. But it's not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy, because all these are experienced in connection with others. The experiences that make us the most vulnerable are the ones we most need, and only when we're brave enough to explore the darkness and the challenge and what causes us to fear and threatens us will we discover what light is. You know what the evidence is in? That we were made for community, but continually we're restricting community. Continually, we're confining who we will hang out with, who we won't hang out with, who will be part of our community, who will not. As you get older, if you don't expand community, you watch as it shrinks and loneliness becomes a reality. As I was reading about loneliness and the reality in community and its importance, one of the things that came up was lifespan, how long people live. Do you know what the number one predictor of a shorter length of life is? It's not alcoholism, it's not obesity, it's not smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Even more than that is loneliness. So evidence is in, if you're alone, you will not live as long. If loneliness and social isolation is a reality for you, life will be shorter. There's this community over in Greece. I think it's near Sardinia. It's an island. And the island is known as the place where people live longest on earth. One of the dynamics that you see in that place is that the whole community is connected. Young and old, everyone is involved in the lives of each other. No one is left alone. So you want to live a long life. You want a life full of joy and love? Be connected with people. Choose connection. Risk connection with other people. So what does God say about this? Why should we value community? Why is community valuable? Because God is community. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is community. When we want the answer to the value of community, we don't look so much to what is it that God says. We look, who is God? See, we were created in God's image, and God is community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is three. God is Trinity. Why is it important that God is three? Well, when the world thinks of God, they think of God as other, distant, uninvolved, uncaring. They look at suffering in the world and go, God's not around. They experience suffering at the hands of other people, and they believe that God cannot exist. They see the way others, even Christians, treat other people, and they discount that God exists. So they have this picture of God, atheists and many in this world, that God is distant. He doesn't care. So why is it important that God is three? Well, if God was one, he would be lonely. He would be in need. He would be inadequate. And if God is love, but there's not more than just God himself, he would have no one to express that to. He would be inadequate within himself. He would be in need and searching, needy, incomplete. The love that comes from him would be imperfect because it would have been birthed from a place where only love was only self-focused. We'll say God wasn't lonely in need. Well, we see if God was one and not three, then he would be holy, distant, unknowable. We see this reflected in Islam and other religions, that God can't be known, that God can't be drawn close to. If God is love, he would be unable to communicate that love. He's unknowable, unrelatable, because he is just one and not three. If God was one and not three, how could he even tell us what true community looks like? You see, the only true community that God would have had was one and not three. So how could he give us a picture of what true love looks like? The kind of love that we would see is the kind of love that embraces sameness and not difference. You see, if God is one without being three as well, and he's just the same, then the expectation is, if we're made in the image of God, that we would all become what? The same. I don't want to become the same as everyone else, because we're not the same. We're different. So how about if God was two? Would that work? Well, think of a two relationship, a marriage. It's a face-to-face relationship. Think about trying to get in the middle of that. Well, no, they're already connected together. It's exclusive. There's no room for anyone else in this relationship. There's no, in a two, there's no room. As a three in that relationship, invited into that household, you're a third wheel. You don't fit in. The fact that God is three is good news because it means that he knows and he understands community. He is the demonstration, the perfect demonstration of what it means to look like and to be a part of community. He's outwardly focused. He's other-directed, other-serving, other-loving. This is the God that we worship. God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So where do we see this in the Bible? We see it in Genesis 1, let us create man and woman in our image. We see this in Genesis 3, they know good and evil just like us. Adam and Eve were cast from the garden. We see this all throughout Scripture. We see it as Jesus invites his family to go out in Matthew 28, go baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see it in this passage here in Ephesians 2, that the God is three. It says in verse 18, for through him, so for through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Scripture is littered with references to the triune God. It doesn't use the word Trinity, but references that show us that the Holy Spirit is God, that Jesus is God, that the Father is God, and that they are one. The illustration that I find most useful in thinking about the fact that God is three and one is the illustration of a household or family, which it refers to in this passage. So you can have three persons that dwell in a household, yet it's still one household. You can be invited into that household, and there's still three that are the primary residences of that household. There's three individual personalities, though, but they're still one. No analogy is perfect. I think that's the best one. One that some people sometimes turn to is water. That water can be ice, mist, or gas, and it can be liquid. So one thing can be three. But that falls down because God is all three in one at the same time, whereas water is in the different states. And so it doesn't 100% fit. No illustration is perfect. That God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, requires a little bit of humility on our part. You see, we worship a God that is bigger than our minds. We worship a God who is bigger than our ability to comprehend. And sometimes in our humanness, we want to fully understand and explain within our systems who God is. But I don't want to worship a God that I can put in a box. I want to worship a God that is infinitely knowable. You see, the more you get to know God, the more you understand who He is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You get to understand the individual personalities of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You get to delight in being invited as part of that relationship. And as you grow in knowing, your understanding of God expands. No one person can fit an understanding of even all of Scripture, let alone all of God. God is not contained by a book. He's the God that created the world. We can't contain Him in a book. So it requires a humility from us, a teachability from us, from Him, that His Spirit would lead us into true understanding about who He is. We don't need to use the word Trinity, but we do need to recognize that God the Father is God, God the Son, Jesus, is God, God the Holy Spirit is God, and that they are three in one. One household, it describes in this passage. The Trinity is the only adequate model for community, the only perfect model for community. It's the only example of community that we were designed for. So why is it important that God is three? Last year, I did a Vox pop-up, The Pines, with Dee, and we were talking to various people. Non-Christians were much more willing to engage with it than Christians were. And a couple of Christians said to us, look, my faith is a private matter. I don't talk about it, so I don't want to do your Vox pop. If God is Trinity, we can't have just God and me and no other. We need to learn to embrace the household that we've been invited into. So you can't ignore other members of the household if God is three. That would be kind of like me inviting you into my household and you going, oh, Randall, I love you as a person. Oh, thank you. And then you're saying, but I actually really don't want to know Katie. I don't want to know Hamish. I don't want to know Holly. I don't want to know that baby that's in Katie's stomach. I'm just interested in you. It doesn't work, does it? It's illogical. So it is the same with us. If we believe our faith can be individual and private, and we've been invited in the household of God, it can't be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and me. Because that's like us walking into a household full of people and going, sorry, you don't exist. It's my time with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, He's big enough for all of us. And we're designed to share Him in community with all of us. So why should we value community? Why is community valuable? Because God is community. What's more, we're made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. God designed us for community. He created us to be together with others because we're made in His image. So if God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and we're made in His image, it's not good for us to be alone. We're not designed to be alone. This walk and journey of faith is not designed to be individual and separate. It's to be together and integrated, other-centered, other-loving. See, the pattern for us of community is that God is community and we're made in His image. Jesus' prayer in John 17 is that, oh, Father, that they would know You like I know You, that they would be with You like I am with You, that we, the relationship we've had since the beginning of time is a relationship that they would share in. You see, Jesus' knows the best model of community and what it looks like. And so when he points people to community, he doesn't point them to an example of a little city over in Sardinia and how that works together. No, he points them to the relationship that he has with the Father and the Spirit. This perfect relationship where the Father perfectly loves the Spirit and the Son, and the Son perfectly loves the Spirit and the Father, and the Spirit perfectly loves the Father and the Son. That's the kind of relationship that he points to as the image of what we were designed and created for. Jesus prays that we would know the Father's love for us in the same way he, Jesus, knows that love, and we experience that love in community. And so if you don't know the Father's love, it's because maybe you haven't entered enough into community, because the expression of his love comes in community. So why is this good news? Well, it's good news that we're not just left to our own devices to create community of our own. It's not our job to figure out what perfect community looks like. We've been invited into a household that already exists. We've been invited to share in what exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then share that with each other as we are designed and made in his image. So the excluded become the included in Jesus. The lonely is no longer lonely, but known in Jesus. The lost become the found in Jesus. So why do we value community? Well, God is community. We're designed for community. We're made in the image of God. And God chooses to dwell in community. The Jewish people met in the temple. And as they met in the temple, there was this outer court. And the outer court was the court of the Gentiles. So the people that weren't Jewish were allowed into this outer court of the temple. Next was the court of women. Jewish people, non-Jewish people weren't allowed into that. The women were, the men were. But then as you progressed higher up, the women weren't allowed higher up. And as you progressed higher still, you had to be from a certain family, a certain lineage. As you progressed higher even still, it had to be a certain time of the year, and you had to be the chosen one, chosen by lot, to go to the holiest holies, the highest place, and to go where God dwells in the temple. Well, our Bible reading today addresses this very issue, and it says, "For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one, Jews and Gentiles, women and men, priests and non-priests, all one in Jesus. The dividing wall of hostility is brought down by Jesus, that we would all be considered equal, all able to connect, all be part of the household of God." See, no longer would people need to go on a pilgrimage to a temple built by human hands. No longer would people have to offer sacrifices in order to work their way up towards God, but all those who know the Son are invited in. All those that worship the Son as Savior and Lord are invited in to be part of that community. All those who are born again are part of that family, born into a new family, a new household. So instead of people going to where the presence of God was, the presence of God dwells within the people of God, and the people of God are able to bring the presence of God to where people are at. So instead of pilgrims that are lost, that are lonely, that are broken, going to a place in order to receive love and be included in community, the community of God is called to be a people that bring the presence of God to those who are lost and lonely and broken. We are carriers of his presence together in community. Instead of people coming to the temple comes to them. It's interesting that when Jesus sends out the disciples, he sends them out not individually, but in twos. What does Jesus say? "Wherever two or three of you are, there I am with you." There's a reason why we go out in twos. There's a reason why we share faith in twos, because the presence of God dwells in community. People witness between us as we do relationships, as we do life together as Christians, the presence of God. And as we do life together and relationships together, we bring the presence of God to people. Ephesians 2:19, let me read out to the end. "Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of his household, his family, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, Christian community is the vehicle for communication to the world that there is a God, that he is love, that he loves them, and that he desires for them to be part of his household. And the invitation is for those to believe in his Son, whom he sent, to make a way for all to be reconciled to him in perfect community. We may think to ourselves, well, you know what, like, I get it, community's good, but I'm not a big sort of community person. I've kind of got my family, I've kind of got a couple of others, that's my community. They're the Christian people I hang around with. But what we find is the smaller the group of people that we hang around with, the smaller the group of people that we call our Christian community, the more likely it is that we will be missing out on some of what God has for us in community. You see, when we look in the Bible and we see the Levites and that they were all a family of priests and they continued generation after generation to be priests, I don't think it's any accident that they were priests. It wasn't just a function that they performed. It was part of who they were. It's part of their identity, and it works the same with us. Each one of you is valuable to the Christian community. Each one of you holds something that no one else holds. Everyone is valuable in the community of God. Everyone is able to demonstrate a different facet of the love of God in a different way with different gifts. Everyone included in this room is as valuable as each other because we have a role in representing the love of God to each other. You know, when I look at my family, I think about my gifts and I see prophetic gifts there. And I look at Katie and she's got evangelistic gifts. They're not just things that have just popped up in our generation. They've been there in generations before. My mum talks about how she has these gut instincts on stuff. We're yet to have a really clear conversation where I say, that's a gift that God wants to unlock in you. But each of you have gifts that God wants to unlock to use for his kingdom to grow it. See, all the gifts, their entire purpose is to demonstrate the love of God to each other. And so if we restrict ourselves in the community that we embrace, we miss out on the love that God has prepared for us in others. If we limit our circle of influence, we limit the degree we will experience his love and his presence because we're missing the people in our community that teach us what no others can teach us. Brendan teaches us what no others can teach us. Lynn teaches us what others can't teach us. She passes stuff down her family line. That's going through Shannon to their kids. You'll see that. Not every kid's the same. And as I pray for my kids, I see there's different gifts resting on each of their lives, visions that God has for their lives that I'm seeking to nurture. But we need each other. No one person can meet all of our needs. We need community. So how do we live this out? How do we live out life better together? Well, love's not just about agreeing with each other, having the same opinion on everything. Our society's view of what love looks like at the moment is that everyone has to have the same idea about things, the same opinion on relationships, etc. That's a society's view of love. God's view of love is that people that are different, have different opinions, can gather around one true faith in Jesus and demonstrate love for each other even through difference. Why is that? Because we reflect a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not Father, Father, Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Loneliness, brokenness, disconnection, it still happens in Christian community. But what if we were to try again? What if we were to look past the ways that others have caused brokenness to come into our life in the past? What if we were to look past the rejection that we've experienced? See, I think that if you're looking for love, if you're feeling that loneliness is a reality for you, don't wait for someone else to come to you and deal with your loneliness. Think about how God loves you. Think about how God demonstrates his love amongst the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Go and share that love with others. If you're feeling lonely, start sharing love with others and see what happens. Try it. These 4 weeks, this next 4 weeks that we're going to spend on community, invest in loving others. You'll get rejected. You may not get what you expect. But spend 4 weeks investing in loving others. You see, as I think of the picture of the Trinity, of the Father loving the Son perfectly, as the Father always focused on what is best for the Son, and as the Spirit is equally focused, and as the Son is equally focused, I see this beautiful picture of other-centered love. What would it look like if you turned up on a Sunday and everyone else was focused on loving you? Do you think you'd come away and not feel loved? If 5 people came up to you and reminded you of your value to God, of your value as a person, said, you as a person are so valuable, and they were specific and they said, because you are able to do this and no one can do it like you, because you bring this love and this life and no one else can do it quite the same. You have this vibrancy and love for God that is infectious. As you point out that in someone else, that will flow on to someone else and someone else and someone else. So we'll give it a try. If you're feeling alone, seek to love others and see where it leads. Why don't we be a community that takes every opportunity to include, every opportunity to pursue what it looks like to be made in the image of God? See, God's plan for us is as it is in heaven, so it be on earth. As relationships work perfectly in heaven, so they will be on earth. Do we do community well? I think we do well. I think we do pretty well. What would it look like for us to grow in this? What would it look like to reflect our Father in heaven, the community that he is a part of on earth? What would it look like for us to really pursue it? I'm imagining and I'm picturing this, that if we were to wholeheartedly pursue it, that we would see our community just explode, because when you keep pouring love into something, it explodes outwards. So if you want to see this community grow, pour love in and you will see it flow out. So why should we value community? God is community. We're made in God's image. We're designed for it. And God dwells in community and we want to be where he is. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we're made in your image. You created us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that we are created. Jesus, we thank you that you created us, that we're made for community. Thank you that when you designed us, you didn't design us to be alone, but you designed us to be together. As we look to you, teach us how to live together. Teach us how to live out community together. Teach us how to live out relationship together. We pray, Lord, that you bring down the dividing walls of hostility that cause us to disengage from relationship and give us the courage and the boldness to pursue connection again, to step past rejection, trusting that you're with us, that you care for us, that you love us, and sharing that with each other, Lord. Teach us how to do that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.